Oh, hello. Welcome to the closet where I'm doing Debatable, a fake television show where we debate nothing. This is an iron.
Oh, there it is.
Shout out to that. That's David Jacoby. That's Dominique Foxworth. High production values. Welcome.
Bacon collar, even with an iron hanging over your shoulder.
Oh, wow. You know what else
you
I
remember
got?
That? You when know what else? Oh,
I know right, the Hanes, Michael Jordan on an airplane. As if Michael Jordan is ever flying commercial. It's like, hey, we interact with this guy.
Yeah. Did I ever tell you about Michael the time Jordan's... I interviewed Michael Jordan? It was great.
What? No. When did you do that?
It was for a podcast for Gatorade. I interviewed Michael Jordan. He cried. We ended up not being able to use it because because it was not in the contract. His contract with Gatorade did not allow for this.
His rider specifically said, if I cry, you cannot run this. Yeah.
Hold on. Let's go. Joe Lacob.
No, wait. Yeah, why did he cry?
Why did he cry?
I had onions that day, and it was really...
It
was about his parents. We were talking about his parents and his upbringing, and I think that yak was hitting hard, and we was in his bus because he was filming a Gatorade commercial, and we were doing a podcast along with it. So I don't know. He was tired and drunk, and he let a tear flow. It wasn't because I'm a great interviewer. Joe Lacob.
He obeyed his thirst, is what you're saying. So
Joey Lacob.
You guys ready?
I feel like Joseph? Dominic just violated the rules of his rider with Gatorade.
I loved it, though. I want more. More Jordan stories. Like,
I'm going to get sued. So Joey Lacob.
We'll move beyond that Dominique got crying Jordan before crying Jordan. But yeah, let's start with, where are we starting, Alabaster? Let's go there.
We are going to start with the Warriors and Joe Lacob, who always views himself as light years ahead. And this time he's talking about how they built this new Warriors team. My question for you guys, is Joe Lacob getting ahead of himself, bragging about the Warriors not trading their young assets for a win now player?
Okay, so Joe Lacob is an odious person in many regards, right? He has two dogs that are named after Ayn Rand characters. That's kind of all you need to know beyond the fact that he's a giant bazillionaire who runs, the most successful team of his generation, of our generation, really. But on this, yeah, I get it. Go ahead and brag, Mr. Billionaire. Like, yes, this is Joe Lacob is many things. He is also admittedly the exact kind of owner that I would want if I was a fan of a team. Like, he spends, he has a long view as well as a short-term view. I swallow the Ayn Rand dog stuff if he actually brings me titles. And the dude is bringing me titles.
Oh, man. He's a lot of things. I thought you had to go negative there. Like, he's many things, but this thing he is not. You said he's many things. One more thing he is my kind of guy. I feel like if you're going to spend that type of money on a franchise and spend the type of money that you must spend in time, frankly, to build a winner, then it's never a bad time to show your ass a little bit. So if people throw it in your face, that's fine. I respect someone who talks before the game much more than I respect someone who's afterwards like, man, I did all this. Look what I did. Say it before the series starts. So yeah, go ahead, Joey, talk your talk.
One of the things that's overlooked here, and I think Pablo actually wrote the story about the fact that Steph Curry had a hurt ankle made this whole dynasty happen. Yep. And again, like, they do this thing where Lacob is actually really lucky because they're so bad 2 years ago, not even invited to the bubble, that they get these high draft picks. So they're able to bring in these low contract, high quality players. James Wiseman, we haven't even seen, but I really think that it's good for him to flex like this. But at the same time, it's like, because Steph Curry was hurt, they were able to have this first dynastic run. And because Klay and Steph were hurt, that they were able to bottom out again. So they do this sort of like up, down roller coaster success thing, which has actually worked really well for them, which has allowed them to do this.
And Alabaster.
The once in a lifetime cap spike that also gave them Kevin Durant.
Great point.
In the PA at that time when we were talking about whether to smooth the cap or let it all go in. And the players wanted that money, and a lot of them got paid that you could argue was more than they deserve. But we got to see maybe the best lineup in the history of basketball, so I liked it.
Yeah, beyond Dominique.
Timothy Mozgov has a mansion right now. He's just like, what do you mean, Dominique? What are you talking about?
Tyler Johnson got a $50 million contract.
He had a good year that year.
As much as Dominique very subtly almost gave away the game, betraying his entire existence as a union guy by talking about maybe didn't deserve, it is true, Alabaster, right? Like, this is a confluence of luck and timing, admittedly, as much as anything
else. Oh, interjection.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and also just to piggyback on that, he did try and trade, according to Woj, the 7-14 pick for Bradley Beal. So he's really patting himself on the back for not settling for a worse player than Bradley Beal, which obviously would have been good for them. The other thing, wouldn't they just be massive title favorites right now had they gotten another really good player instead of this?
That's
like,
true.
Wouldn't but that have also true. Worked?
Okay, so yes, so yes, true. That is so. But I think what Joe Lacob is trying to do by using the benefit of hindsight in this regard, well, he's doing two things, actually. He's doing what Dominique is saying. He's celebrating a future that has not yet arrived while also celebrating a past that he did not totally sort of deserve based on what you just said via Woj. And what he's saying, though, is that because we have Jonathan Kuminga, because we get Moses, we then have a future once Steph and Draymond and Clay are, you know, into their late 30s, which is bullish on those guys.
It's only worthwhile if you actually have a title, because as long as you own a team, you are lucky if you get a roster like the one that they have now. If you're lucky if you get that once. So arguing that the better thing to do is to build for the future is asinine. Like, no, if you can get a roster like this, then you do whatever you can to win right now as you can. But I think that the idea that it's just about player power. Like, they don't like players that have the power. That's what it comes down to. I think that's the argument he's making, is like, you trust in an organization like this and we'll do right by you. They don't want to be in a situation where they're trying to appease superstars. They did it a little bit with KD, and it clearly didn't work out. They have the one superstar that seems like is made of that former mold, and they are feeding it.
Well, I mean, look, Jacoby, it didn't work out with KD in the sense that it all sort of dramatically fell apart, but it also did work out in the sense they got two titles. And I guess But Jacoby, to your point, though, I do feel like Joe Lacob, if he just came out and said the most honest thing, which is, thank God I got Steph Curry. Thank God that I inherited him, because this is the superstar who allows everything else to happen, including, due to the ankles, having a cost-controlled contract. He was underpaid, which allowed him to pay everybody else. Yeah, that's kind of the Occam's razor of his tenure as owner, too.
Absolutely agree.
Alabaster. So one quick thing is that after the finals, after the conference finals, that Steph Curry gave his blessing on all of these moves, which is like so unique that he took this long view. So it's beyond just organizational structure and Steph's unique talents on the basketball court. He's also just like someone who really trusts that organization to do right in the long term. But I want to read you one more quote from Lacob, because this is where he gets a little bit wonky and big for his britches. He said, "We've made it to 6 finals in 12 years, so I love that 50% rate. Whether we can continue that, I don't know. I'm sure as hell going to try." And he went on to compare himself to Jerry Buss, who did that with the Lakers for a 30-year run.
Oh, well, I guess he's got a long way to go to pull that off. Moses Moody is not going to be the heir apparent, I would guess. But I don't know. We'll see.
Yeah, this does feel like this is where I do find him odious, right? Like, the whole idea of it's the great man theory of ownership. Like, me, we can do this, 50%, NBA finals, every year, me, I can do it, light years. It's like, all right, that's enough of Joe Lacob.
I mean, if you're a billion, go ahead.
The 50% rate, it's like, oh, we'll probably be in the finals 50% of the seasons. That's what our plan is. It's like, Mr. Lacob, that's not how it works. Like, again, you drafted Steph Curry. He is one of the best basketball players that's ever touched a basketball, probably the best shooter that's ever touched a basketball, and he is the reason that you have all this success. It's just that simple.
It's got to be kind of tough. I feel like if you're a billionaire, there's like millions of billionaires or something like that out there. And we like know like 12 of them. So I feel like this is all it boils down to, is like, Joe Lacob wants people to recognize him when he walks into the supermarket, and he wants people to celebrate him and like give him a standing ovation when he walks into movie theaters. The way that we look at Steph Curry, he wants to be looked at the same way. Ooh. Buzz,
I like
light
that.
Years
I see what you did there. Light years ahead. He's got his own movie coming out.
I like that.
There's a little star turn.
There's like a black character in that movie too. I saw it. I cannot wait for the internet to hate it. There are no black people in Buzz Lightyear's universe. You stop
it. Wow. Wait, was there? I guess there wasn't a black person in Toy Story.
Nope. There was no black people in Toy Story. Wow. I mean, unless you're going to count the potato.
Oh, yeah, right. Right. He's right, brown. Right. Mr. Potato Head. Well, we can't even say Mr. Potato Head because I would be canceled. I can't. I don't even know if I'm parodying
this.
Myself
what are we
or
talking
parodying
about now?
Potato. I don't even know which side of the aisle I'm on. The
Jacoby,
potato.
I want to apologize because I sent us down this road.
Yeah, I can't. I got nothing. I got nothing. You do this all the time. What do you want me to say? I don't know if Mr. Potato Head is black. I have no idea.
Do you keep coming back? Why do you keep coming back? You don't have to subject yourself.
I'm starting to sweat. I'm uncomfortable. This sucks.
I shouldn't workshop my Mr. Yams joke out loud. Mr. Yams head.
Stop it. No. Oh, man. I just want to talk about dirty toothbrushes at this point, but no one knows what we're talking about except for me, Pablo, and Jacoby. I only do this show for you two.
And I barely know what you're talking about. Alabaster, what's next?
We're going to move on to the Lakers, always back in our rundown. And that's because Mark Stein is sort of reportedly talking to people around the organization, and they don't want to move off of Russell Westbrook if that means attaching picks. And my question about that, because that's interesting, that sets up a dynamic where there's conflict between LeBron's win now and the organizational structure moving forward. And so what does it say to you about the relationship with LeBron if they won't attach picks to a Westbrook trade?
The if here is important because my instinct is, oh, they're lying. They are definitely lying about this. They definitely want to get rid of Russell Westbrook. They just cannot admit this. So here's Mark Stein saying that, yes, the Lakers are insisting to anyone who will listen, which, by the way, like that clause sort of indicates maybe some of the subtext here. Anyone who will listen, they are grabbing them and yelling into their faces. We would rather keep Russell Westbrook on the roster for the next season than surrender additional assets to convince someone to trade for him, which to me, first blush, kind of like, eh. Don't know if I believe that.
It's the 2027 pick. So, like, we're talking about someone who right now is, like, 13 years old, right? Like, if you have to do whatever you can to get off of Russell Westbrook. Sometimes you have to, in this job, you have to, like, look in the mirror and say, I was wrong. I actually thought Russell Westbrook was going to be good on the Lakers. Oh, no. It was evident, so early that this is not working. This is not working. So whatever they need to attach a 2027 pick, whatever they need to do to get off Russell Westbrook, they absolutely have to. They just have to.
Anyone who will listen always makes me think of when Jimmy Haslam, the owner of the Browns, decided to take the advice of a vagabond and draft Johnny Manziel. He literally said that he was walking on the street and a homeless man said, get that Johnny Manziel. He walked into his war room and he said, you know what? I got an inside line on who we should draft. Throw out all your research. Analytics be damned. Homeless man. Unhoused individual.
Thank you. Unhoused vagabond.
Unhoused individual told me. Right. What's that thing called with a stick with the bag on the back?
A bindle.
Yes. Bindle man came up and said, we got to get Johnny Manziel. That's great. I love anyone who would listen. Anyone who would listen is my favorite.
This guy climbed down from a boxcar and said, you need to draft Johnny Football. And we tried to listen to him. But the thing that is happening here beyond the absurdity of like who is telling the truth ever when you talk about publicly negotiating, you know, personnel moves is that, yeah, LeBron does have a conflict, right? LeBron would have a conflict. Let's take it as if true. LeBron would have a conflict with them prioritizing their future over their present because he, yes, Alabaster points this out, eligible for a contract extension on August 4th. He will enter next season as a free agent to be, which is just, by the way, what a bonanza of just takes we're going to get next summer. Thank God.
I love it because they're not going to be the number one in the West. You know what I mean? So they're not going to be in the conference finals. They're not going to be anywhere near that. When you look, Caesars just came out with like next year's odds of who can win the championship, and the Nets are like laughably number two. But the Lakers aren't even on the list. Like the Lakers are not even on the list.
Damn.
You can't even like get a number to bet on them in the season next year. It ain't happening.
LeBron doesn't want to be seen as having this control. Even though we all believe he has a lot more influence than the average player, which I'm sure he should, or I'm sure he does, and he absolutely should, given his value to an organization.
Sure.
But part of me thinks that he wants this out there too. because it felt like all of last season he was trying to distance himself from all the terrible decisions that the organization had made, the people they let get away. He wanted to have nothing to do with it. He wanted us to believe that he had nothing to do with those decisions while we were all kind of pretending like, or we all assumed that he had everything to do with those decisions. So I don't know what the truth is, but I think that as much as Jeannie Buss seems to be wanting to do a tour where she's like in the media doing stories that says, I'm in control, me and all these other old people are running the show. She's like, she wants you all to know that no one under the age of 40 or 40, geez, no one under the age of 60
if only.
Is influencing this front office. I feel like LeBron's in the same place where he wants you to believe he doesn't have the influence.
By the way, it is actually more embarrassing to consult Phil Jackson at this point than it is to consult an unhoused vagabond.
The unhoused vagabond would probably give you much better advice than Phil Jackson.
The vagabond definitely has a firmer grasp on modern basketball than Phil Jackson.
Yes.
Oh, Alabaster, what are we missing in this story? Because I mostly just want to laugh at the fact that nothing the Lakers do right now seems like it's coming from a place of like actual sophistication, and it's more just like grasping for straws desperately.
I kind of so here's a counter take. I kind of think at this point it's right to not be beholden to the will and the whims of LeBron James. Like, he has not shown us over the last season and a half that he can be a healthy superstar that can carry the team as the number one. And that was the whole point of Anthony Davis, that he was going to be the guy and take this as like a transitional phase where he'd take the torch. And like, it's kind of smart to hold on to the future, even if LeBron walks. Like, we've seen him do this before where he just uses up the resources of a planet. He did that in Miami and Cleveland and LA. And like, at a certain point, if he can't get you over the finish line, you have to stop doing that.
So, I mean, is it true on some level that LeBron James is, as you just put it, a colonizing alien who has come to drain a planet of all of its natural resources? Arguably. Talking about, like, the time Shabazz Napier got drafted by the Heat when LeBron tweeted about him?
He sent out a tweet. If you are so insecure that you let a tweet make you draft somebody, then that's on you. That's not on LeBron. If he really wanted somebody, he'll go in and make it happen. But LeBron is one of these players that Alabaster and many people love to hate, and they are looking for opportunities to bash him. The man has, what is it, 8 finals appearances?
Straight. Ten finals appearances.
And 4 championships? I mean, he's a pretty damn good GM, because you know what player comes with him everywhere he goes? LeBron damn James. So, like, if he wants you to trade stuff, you trade it. I get your point that maybe he is not built to – or he doesn't have the ability to carry a team anymore, but he still brought you Anthony Davis in a title. Maybe you don't trade away these picks, but if LeBron wants a contract extension, give him the max. He deserves it. Give him the max. And if you don't want to pay it, Adam Silver should pay it, because what he's meant to this league is more than they've been able to pay him because of your stupid salary cap and max contract limitations.
Whoa, whoa, whoa. I never said don't give LeBron the max. I just said maybe don't go all in and trade even more stuff when he could just leave in a year if it doesn't work.
You don't know how to do argument television. I put words in your mouth, and then I make the point I want to make. Jeez. Watch an episode of First Take.
But they just gotta
do your job.
They absolutely have to get off of Westbrook. Like, this is silly at this point. I also like that LeBron James is painting this as like one day his phone rang and they're like, by the way, we have Russell Westbrook now. Like, he was just a bystander, just getting the information, not involved in the conversation whatsoever. They need to trade Russell Westbrook, and then LeBron's gonna act like he didn't even know what was happening when it happens. But what do they even get back for Westbrook at this point? He's just an expiring contract. Well, that's the only value that he has.
That's, I think, the optimal question here at this point, actually, is like, if you do trade him, what's even the point, right? I mean, Alabaster, seriously, what do you get in return? Like, what's even out there that's going to help them?
You're like Davis Bertans.
Can I make another point in defense of LeBron James? All the roster moves that we don't like that supposedly he made, the general manager still made them. Pelinka made those moves. Jeannie Buss signed off on them. I'm not comfortable with you just like abdicating all responsibility because one of your employees told you to do something. If you thought it was the wrong thing to do, talk him out of it or convince him of a better idea. To me, like, you don't get paid the money you get paid to run these organizations. And then also when things go wrong and the roster falls apart, say, him did it. I mean, then quit. if you can't do your job, then you're not the right person to do the job. If I was flipping burgers and somehow I just sprinkled sugar all over the burgers, no one is, if you keep having me there, then the manager is still responsible for the burgers that we put out there. Terrible analogy, but you get the
terrible analogy.
Hold on.
I'm intrigued. I'm intrigued by sugary burgers.
It was in a row.
I'm intrigued by like a caramelized burger.
It was a good time. Interesting. An analogy ruined it. I'm sorry.
We've referenced booger sugar here before, but never sugar burgers, which is a new step and debatable. I will point out though, Alabaster, I wonder if you're going to the same exact spot. That is literally what Magic Johnson did.
Quit.
Yes.
No. I was going to point out one other thing, which is just that. Dominic, you're saying that GM should talk him out of these things? That's literally what they're doing right now. They're just saying, we don't want to make a short-sighted decision. We can't kowtow to what you want at this point.
I think what Dominic is asking for is a little more backbone, and we will see if we ever get actual, like, behind-the-curtain machinations being revealed here, because everybody is very pliant.
You like to machinate behind the curtain?
I've been machinating behind this curtain in this Airbnb in ways that I hope
David hates
owner
us.
Is not watching.
David hates being on with us every time.
Iron the curtain.
Every time he gets the email to do the show with us, he's like, and then he musters up a smile and pretends like he enjoys himself. Yeah. Thank you, David.
I'm not even here.
Wearing a button-down shirt and everything.
You talk about sex stuff. I say something about race and he just gets uncomfortable. That's what we do.
Yeah. Your time.
And then Alabaster comes in.
All right, guys.
Index.
Sorry. Clickbait question here.
Okay.
All right. We got to this point. I have. What team's LeBron James going to play on after next season?
Oh,
I love this. I love this.
Hold on.
Golden State.
No, I got one. Clippers.
Oh.
Staying.
Clippers. Stays in L.A.
Wait, I'm going to.
Plays
I'm
for the Clippers. Ty Lue connections.
Oh.
Let me
loves Los Angeles. Doesn't have to move. Just
I like
gets a
that.
New team.
That's a good take.
Just moves on from the Lakers. You got your championship. I got Ty Lue, my guy over here. I'm gonna be on the Clippers.
I know where Pablo's.
That's my
going.
Take.
Where are you going, Pablo? Let's hear it.
Let me get Dallas Cowboys. My fancy mic.
Let's go
on.
Full first take. Let's go full first take.
Cowboys. Dallas Cowboys. what are you doing?
What was Pablo doing? Like a take warm up.
Knicks.
Yep.
I knew it.
It's gonna happen, guys.
It's gonna happen.
Oh, yeah.
Oh my god.
Oh,
so
I love
loud.
It.
So loud. Sorry.
Make the Photoshops now. Does a Photoshop exist for LeBron on every team already?
Has
I feel like
be.
Every fan base.
In fact, there's a non-zero chance that the NBA expands and they form a new team.
Ooh,
and it's
Vegas.
Just the LeBrons. The Las Vegas LeBrons.
Las Vegas LeBrons. That's a good one. I like that.
Does he want to own a team anyway? Like, he's mentioned that he wanted to own a team.
Yes.
I feel like it's
him,
the least they could
Bronny,
do.
Bryce can be on there.
I saw some Bryce highlights. It's like, oh, hey, Bryce. Look, that's nice to see. Look
last name got to be James to be on the team?
Yes, all of the Jameses. Yeah, that's the one rule on their right. Yeah,
let's
Mike
get
James,
to the point.
Come on by. Jerome
Alabaster James. Only made this interjection so he could get to telling us his take.
I know.
All right, who you got?
All right, let's go. Jimmy Butler, 2 first-round picks for LeBron James
back
right
to
now.
Miami.
And let's call
wow.
it in. Back to they, oh, think wow. he gets Miami over the hump. Half he creates the half-court offense they lack. You know, Jeannie Buss gets to still have a competitive team. They reload with picks. They get Jimmy Butler. Played an Olympic team with Anthony Davis. They're fun.
Like
They're
this.
A playoff team.
I kind of like this.
LeBron
although I will
loves
point
to go
out.
Go back home.
it's true. Alabaster, by the way, is just heat checking. Alabaster proposed a totally fake trade yesterday that actually wound up being a trade that got reported by reputable news outlets. And now he's just feeling himself
just,
all over.
Yeah, he really is. There's
like
no
that.
Chance LeBron James plays for
the team. I want to see the Sports Illustrated cover when he goes back home or back to college, right? Miami was what he called college, right? That's what
college,
he said.
Yeah, it was a college.
I wonder when he goes back
to
his college reunion.
Mm.
Back to school. There we go. We've already got it. Pablo,
yep. He's going to wear a cap and gown. Yep. Yep. Throw a cap in the air.
Clippers.
Hit Shabazz Napier in the face.
Clippers.
Pat Riley said he left the key under the door, so we'll see. All right, let's move on to the NFL.
Hey,
take a hard
hit. After this is over, guys, let's go rob Pat Riley.
I was going to say, you shouldn't have said that.
Let's go rob Pat Riley.
Let's go. He left a key under the door.
He's like 75.
The injury Pat Riley has changed my Pat Riley, just my perception of him forever.
He got money. He got money from the 70s. He was in the NBA. He was winning champions in the 80s. Like, that dude got long bread. Let's go.
Oh, that pre-inflation money.
I'm just joking.
All right, let's move on. Let's take a pivot to the NFL. And this is where things are getting spicy with the defending champion Los Angeles Rams, where Aaron Donald has hinted that if he doesn't get a significant bump in salary, who knows? He's satisfied with his career. He could hang it up. My question, do you think he could actually retire if he doesn't get paid?
I guess lying or telling the truth is another question here that is valid.
Oh, that's a lie. That's negotiations. He is lying. He is going to be playing football. I mean, he had the sack that sealed the Super Bowl championship for the Los Angeles Rams. They're going to pay him. This is just a negotiation. It's not like he's going to retire.
He made the play in the NFC Championship game that sealed that game also. And then he had back-to-back plays at the end of the Super Bowl to put that one away. And he's possibly the greatest defensive player that any of us have ever seen play.
Whoa.
For him to end his career. What?
Lawrence Taylor?
I mean, I said possibly. He's in the conversation. Okay. He's in the conversation.
So are you.
Like,
John.
No, I'm not, though. Isn't it telling that you said, ooh, and then you named Lawrence Taylor? Like, how long ago was Lawrence Taylor? The point is, the man's really good. He's in the conversation with guys like Lawrence Taylor. How much is he making this year? Because if it's hard
not
for
enough.
Me to believe. Yeah, agreed. But it's hard for me to believe that he wants more money, but the money that he's receiving now is not enough to then play. So, like, even if they don't re-up his contract, it's clear that you want money. So are you going to say no to this money? And it, like, I think he's, like, the sixth highest paid defensive player now.
So here's Alabaster with some numbers to save us, because he's scheduled to make $14.25 million next season, which ranks 102nd in the NFL. His
that's
average of 22.5 million ranks 27th. So among defensive players, it would be higher than certainly. But I guess
probably not six. Anyway, the point is, $14 million is pretty good. He gonna pick up that check. That's all.
Yeah, I mean, it is funny though how this whole thing became a story, right? It was leaked before the Super Bowl, right?
Yes.
It was a
after Super Bowl, they're like, "Are you going to retire?" I was like, "What is happening?" I was like, "What is happening?"
And I feel like the other data point to inject into this conversation is the fact that Aaron Donald is the biggest name player I'm aware of, Alabaster, who is being represented on the marketing side by Donda Sports, Kanye West's agency.
Oh, I did not know that. Oh, on the marketing side.
On the marketing side. I didn't know this until I saw the doc this morning, which I somehow read for the first time in like weeks. Yeah.
He's not an agent. He's on marketing. Marketing is different, right?
Who looks at Kanye's career right now and is like, you know what? Let me just follow that blueprint. Whoever's in his ear needs to be in my ear.
We were talking about robbing Pat Riley's home. Aaron Donald's going to show up wearing that like ski mask, actually, to like his press conference, Kanye style. I just feels like a lot's on the table. I guess if you're willing to sign with that agency, I feel like a lot more might be on the table, which maybe gives sort of credence to the idea that he can do whatever the hell he wants. Because if he'll do that, who knows?
The idea that this story, I believe the story before the Super Bowl, because I was like, who would put this out before the Super Bowl unless it was like really a leak that happened? Now to find out that it was just a pre-Super Bowl negotiation ploy, I kind of respect it. I really like it. I appreciate it. It's fun. Not like we needed something to talk about between the week, or it wasn't even the week. It was like the morning of.
It was the
like
day of. Yes.
It was that day.
It's kind of like when A-Rod, remember, like leaked during the Super Bowl, that his whole contract thing, and everybody got mad at A-Rod. But it just is a reminder that like when you have the biggest stage available, use it selfishly. I get it. Makes sense.
But at the very core, just look at this quote, right? Like, this is what we do in sports media. He says, if I can win another Super Bowl, that's great. But if not, I'm at peace. and we get 10 minutes out of this, like, dude, talk about him retiring. Like, that's pretty much a big nothing right there. He's like, I'd like to win a Super Bowl. Winning Super Bowls is fun, but if not, that's cool, too.
That is a nothing burger like, with some sugar on it.
Yeah, is he retiring? No. He's just like, bro, I want to win a Super Bowl, but if I don't, like, I'm okay.
I feel like Joe Lacob needs to hang out with Aaron Donald. Because Joe Lacob needs to be at peace. This man is talking about how he's going to get to half the finals for the next 15 years.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, chill out, man. Just you had a dynastic run that's still going on, that's in its second iteration, volume 2 of the dynasty. Just enjoy it. Stop talking about what's going to happen for the next 18 years. Be like Aaron Donald.
It's a really good one. A lot of really rich people are way too.
It was good, too. Oh. I'll say it again. Be like Aaron Donald. Get a sack.
I like that. The double entendre.
I thought you would like it. It was only for you. I knew Dan would like it.
I knew Dan.
For the podcast audience, Jacoby's head is in his hands. And
I told you about talking to the podcast audience. We don't talk to them. They better get on Twitter or YouTube.
I love them.
He stopped down. Like, we were moving on. And he already said the bad joke. And then he stopped the entire thing.
Run it back.
Everyone be quiet so he can say the bad joke a second time. Because everybody knows when you hear a joke for the second time, that's when it really hits.
Get some sugar on that burger. Get some sugar on that burger, Jacoby.
I think it sounds interesting. Get some guys, sugar on your best burger. Idea you had today.
Can I give you what I thought Pablo was going to say in response to you, Dominique? Which is, he was going to say, here's the thing. Aaron Donald is actually the perfect version of the imperfect meat sack that is the human body.
Damn.
You got a good Pablo.
Yo, Alabaster, learn how to produce and get in my ear privately and feed me that line. As opposed to stealing it for yourself, you glory hound.
Team selfish over here, my bad. But really let's move on. Let's hop back to the NBA. We're going to go back to one of our games. What are the chances?
Step back to the NBA.
And here's where my producing gets really bad, because I messed up this card. Now I don't have places for you to write it down. But I want you to look at this tattoo. Never mind, we do have it. I want you to look at this tattoo from Dennis Schroeder. And my question is, what are the chances Dennis Schroeder is happy that the Celtics made the finals? Take a look at this.
Uh-oh.
That's Dennis Schroeder?
Yo, so this is, again, for the podcast audience, this is an upper thigh? This is like borderline NSFW, I think.
I mean, he's German, right? Like, I was wondering if maybe he was Irish. Like, I don't understand that. Why? I know he played for them for a hot second. What are you doing? Does anybody have any more explanation in this? I need more explanation. I don't know how to respond to this.
So I think, you know what? I'm going to actually answer the question here. At first, I'm very petty, and so I don't like to see other people be successful because I'm just an evil, dark person on the inside. However,
you're just honest.
I think he actually gets a ring, right, if they win. So I'm going to go like 90%. Oh. I think he gets a ring. So he's just saying, hey, guys, remember, I'm part of this journey. I'm part of this team, this special group that didn't want me around after I played for 3 months. But I think that he's 90% happy about this because he will get a ring, and then no one can look at him and say, you were not an NBA champion.
Wow.
Well, first of all, thank you for your honesty. We're all like that. Just most of us pretend that we're actually happy for other people. We really just want all the success for ourselves. Like,
we're all glory hounds. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I'm jealous of like my wife's success. Like, I'm just really bad.
She's very successful too, man.
You guys need like a players only meeting in the Jacoby.
I want to go 90% because I want to be like David Jacoby, and he seems smart, but doesn't he get a ring anyway? You don't got to get it tatted on your leg. Like, I'm kind of conservative with it. Like, I'll make fun of lots of things, but making fun of people's tattoos, conservative, because you don't know what it means. You don't know who died. But I look at that tattoo and I'm like, if that's what your
just
uncle
the
looks
leprechaun
like,
from the Celtics. Yeah,
if that's what your uncle looks like, then I feel like RIP to Uncle Junebug. Oh, my gosh.
Uncle Junebug does have a cane, I guess. Lucky Leprechaun, I'm noticing, does actually have a cane that he's resting on jauntily.
I miss my Uncle Charles, y'all.
We roasted many a guy in the locker room in college for having a bad tattoo, only to find out.
Oh, yeah, of course.
It was representing something more important, and then it was like, okay. Those are what those Asian letters mean to you.
Oh, my God. So I'm going to go 0%. because I feel like that lane is wide open available to me. Because what he's going to have to do is like do the thing where you have to tattoo another tattoo onto that tattoo to pretend that you never got that tattoo, which is a lot easier to do. A lot easier to do when you have like Chinese characters. But in this case, bring it back up, please, because we got to brainstorm how to save.
I've already got it. I've already got it.
Tattoo nightmare.
You already got it. Give it to us.
If the Celtics win, that ball becomes the Larry O'Brien trophy.
Okay.
Okay.
And then what are you going to do with the what's his name?
Lucky.
Yeah.
Lucky?
I think you make Lucky I don't know. You make Lucky's tummy a big butt. You could do that.
Oh, I like that. Yep. We're going to make that tummy a butt. We're going to butt lift that tummy. Brazilian butt lift that tummy. We're going to flip that head around. Yep. We're going to give him a BBL. That ear is going to become a nose. Yep.
So it's going to be a sexy person next to the Larry OB. That's what we got here.
Yep. We got, for the podcast audience, this definitely makes sense. We're going to make that Lucky Leprechaun a twerking woman twerking onto the Larry O'Brien trophy made up of the arm and the basketball twirled by Lucky Leprechaun.
It doesn't have to be a woman. 2022, Pablo. Don't be so closed-minded. It could be a twerking person.
Mr. Potato Head.
Yeah. Mr. Potato Head backing that thing up, using a cane for support. Pop.
It can be a totally genderless anthropomorphic vegetable twerking on the Larry O'Brien trophy.
Yep. Is a potato a vegetable?
Yeah.
Is a potato a root?
Is a potato a vegetable?
I feel like Lucky Leprechaun would know the answer to this question, and the answer would be yes.
All right. Now add it to our list of deep dive stories that we need done. Investigation.
Is a potato a vegetable?
Is a potato. Did you guys know that a sweet potato is not a potato?
Huh?
It's a yam. It's a different, it's in like a, you know, it's a different.
No, Dominique has a broader, dumber question, which is, are all potatoes vegetables?
Yeah. Are potatoes vegetables?
I don't know. We'll research.
If only we had some sort of way to get this information.
Research here. There's no research needed. Yes, it is. Why am I the only one who knows this?
You went to Harvard. You're smart.
Dominique is looking it up.
No, I'm looking up. I went to the business school.
Business school didn't teach you what vegetables.
Oh, yeah. No.
Exactly.
Yeah.
We learned how to make $1 billion off of somebody else farming a potato that is not a vegetable. We don't need to know what it is to sell that thing.
It's all too real.
All I'll say is, like, I've been shocked before. I found out a cucumber is a fruit. Shocking. So I wouldn't be shocked if there was some sort of, you know, different.
It seems like it's a vegetable. All right, everyone relax. Relax, everybody. It appears to be a vegetable.
Call off the investigation.
Let's move on. Last topic.
Cucumber's a vegetable. It doesn't taste good enough.
Yeah, I don't believe that about the fruit.
Yeah, that's not. There's certain facts that I just don't accept as facts.
It is trying to get us now.
It got
to
be sweet. I don't care.
It doesn't taste good. Yeah. Vegetable.
I mean, you let them define it for themselves. But if your seed's on the inside, then I'm not sure.
Who identifies as a vegetable? Yeah, we should leave that.
All right.
It's time for your interjection, buddy.
It's really.
Yeah, okay. It's time. We're going to go on to Nick Castellanos. And we're going to we have two clips. The first one from, the infamous one a few years ago and Nick Castellanos at a home run. And then one from yesterday. And our question, what are the chances that Nick Castellanos has a sense of the moment?
Let's listen.
I made a comment earlier tonight that went out over the air that I am deeply ashamed of. If I have hurt anyone out there, I can't tell you how much I say from the bottom of my heart, I'm so very, very sorry. I pride myself and think of myself as a man of faith. As there's a drive in a deep left field by Castellanos, it will be a home run.
It's just one of the great clips of all time. It is as if that announcer, Mr. Brenneman, I'm trying to think of what it's kind of like if the Titanic hit an iceberg, but the iceberg was also the band playing as the ship sank. It's like you did this to yourself, and also you're trying to play this off as if like it's totally normal. Very good. But what happened after this more recently?
Is joined by American Gold Star Mothers past national president Judith Young, unveiling the gold chair, which will sit vacant here at Citizens Bank Park, honoring those who paid the ultimate sacrifice. Castellanos rips one to deep left field. It is gone! Solo home. for Castellanos.
Dominique, can I ask you to do an apology for that sack joke you made earlier in the same tone?
Nope. Okay, here we go. Hey, everyone. I would like to apologize if I made anybody uncomfortable for referring to Aaron Donald's sack.
And there's a drive like into left by Castellanos. It'll be a 3-1 ball game. It is. He needs to monetize this power. How does he monetize this power? He can't really, because it comes at the cost of like actual serious things. But the that's
only what makes it amazing. The only way he monetizes his power is to continue to hit home runs when people are doing solemn like presentations. He needs to figure out how he can continue to be up to bat when somebody is doing something important.
Wait.
And then he can hit.
They're
going to
reverse engineer these home runs now. They're going to be like, all right, every time Castellanos is at the plate, we have to do anniversaries. Some sort of like super sad Jimmy V moment.
Anniversaries. Like, anniversaries of bad events are far enough gone that it's not going to be offensive. So they just, every time he's up to bat, they got to do something. Like, this day will live in infamy. Crack! Home run.
You know, today is the anniversary of the J.R. Smith in the NBA Finals forgetting what the score was.
Oh,
it's
yeah.
so amazing. I watched that clip again today. I was like, it's the NBA Finals. You forgot the score? You forgot the score?
So good.
That was very rough. And now he's like on the honor roll or something.
He's like the most famous college graduate in America now, which is a real turn of events.
Sports athlete or student athlete of the year or something?
100%. 100%. Alabaster. We're going 100%.
Yeah.
And they really need to start reverse engineering these home runs.
I mean, what you just described is the supervillain origin story of Nick Castellanos, who in order to succeed must have terrible things happen to others. And
I like this.
I'm actually here for it. I'm going to go hundo too.
Yeah.
Make it 3 hundo. And that like feels like some sort of like, I don't know, thought experiment that some psychology student somewhere needs to figure out. It's like,
right.
Is it worth it? Like, how does
it
feel?
It's the trolley car problem. It's the whole thing. Would you push one person in front of a trolley to save all these other people?
Run.
And Nick Castellanos is like, you make it a home run, and I'm pushing all of those dudes in front of that trolley.
Yes.
Oh, gosh.
Good friend of Castellanos.
Did we finish early? Are we done? Can I just make weird, uncomfortable jokes from here on out?
Is that no, please doing? Don't. No,
you kind of started to with that finish early thing, so just keep on rolling.
Oh, look at the advanced time. That is the Time Lord. Alabaster is the Time Lord, not Robert Williams III. He is the actual Time Lord.
I've never heard anybody complain about getting somewhere early. You don't want to be late? What's wrong? Who wants to be late? I want to get there early. What's wrong with that, Pablo?
I hate getting places early. I want to sit there and wait for you.
I do too. Yeah. But culturally, you know.
Yeah, no chance.
It's not my fault. It's my culture.
Oh man, what a beautiful sound.
Exhale.
That was fun. I enjoyed myself.
I enjoyed myself, except for like the parts where I didn't.
Confetti metaphor for you know what.
I mean, I'm just proud of you for the whole toothbrush story. It just makes me so happy.
Yeah. I learned a lot about your culture, or not your culture.
Yes.